bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk on this Thursday, May 12th. Great to have you with us once again. Thanks for joining us and making us part of your day. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Find us online, markettalkag.com. That is our home on the web, markettalkag.com. All of our radio affiliates can be found there, streaming sources, news of agriculture, and much more. Very busy day today here on Thursday. We had a lot of data hit the market trade, culminating with the May WASDE report. And here to help us walk through a very busy day in the trade and discuss everything, our good friend Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing. Brian, good afternoon to you, sir. Man, I'm catching my breath after today. Just a lot of data into the market trade. And when it was all said and done, wheat markets sharply higher. Quarter beans ended up fairly moderately higher as well. Overall, just a very busy day, though, Brian.
Yeah, really busy. And you're catching your breath, and my breath is still somewhere way ahead of me. So I got to catch up to it as well. So, sharp gains in the wheat. And I don't know, Jesse, you know, today's numbers are what they are. It's what they've said. But the market moves a lot on perception, too. And the perception is rapidly changing with heavy rains again in Minnesota and North Dakota last night, on the radar again today. Just what this might mean for spring wheat acreage and whether guys can get them planted. And I talked to some farmers up in that area today, and they're kind of leaning toward the idea this might have been the nail in the coffin. They'll see. But that's the problem. And I want to take just a real quick gander here. The 6 to 10 day outlook, at least May 17th through the 21st, indicates that entire region above normal in precipitation. So, you know, and then the rest of the Midwest kind of fears it's been so warm lately and trying to get things planted that you go from a late spring to summer, and then it just, and you know, they can't buy rain. So we'll see what happens. And I'm not forecasting that, but I know that's kind of a concern with farmers. They work to get it in and then find out that now they need rain. So we'll see where that goes. But good progress should be made in the entire, let's say, eastern third to half of the Corn Belt in planting progress this week. So we'll get that underneath the market here. But big gains in the wheat. And then I know I'm a little wordy here, but the last thing is, again, another sell-off in the stock market today. And you got to wonder if the fund money wasn't moving out of equities and going back to commodities where there's new uncertainty.
Definitely. Well, we'll talk more stock market in a minute. I know we got more inflation numbers that impacted the trade today. I want to stay on the wheat train a little bit here, Brian. You mentioned the weather concerns, and then, you know, we have hot and dry in the southern plains as well, and some of that winter wheat crop burning up there, production problems globally. I know on the WASDE report today, we saw 22-23 ending stocks for wheat, 267 million metric tons below expectations. So, I mean, you know, just looking at those wheat numbers, and really it seemed like delayed buying in the wheat markets. We kind of had the report, and then somewhere around noon, we just kind of took off to the races in the wheat market today.
Yeah, I had the report. I think the traders that wanted to buy were a little bit hesitant to buy, you know, after gains after the report. And then it kind of pulled back. And I think they just jumped in and they said, look, this is a mess. We've got spring wheat pricing, new contract highs and pushing higher. You've got, and this all despite a sharp gain in the dollar. So the world's kind of taking note. I think the next kind of thing to watch in wheat is now European weather, where wheat's been off to a pretty good start this year, but net drying as of late and concerns that that area could turn drier. All of it counts, and it's magnified when you start tightening in inventory and supply. And again, anecdotally, I don't know what the story is out of India, but they're going to ban wheat. They're not. They're contemplating banning wheat. I think there's a lot of debate in country there, and I think countries are going to start really waking up to these high prices going, you know, most politicians probably don't know where it comes from other than the grocery store, and start to ask themselves, well, what does this look like? Or somebody's going to tell them what it looks like and say, hey, we've got a world food potential, our world food problem potential that needs to be addressed.
Corn market today, I think one of the other big notes out of the WASDE report, USDA lowered the U.S. Yield projection, 181 down to 177. I know that caught a lot of folks off guard. Did it catch you off guard, Brian?
Well, not necessarily. We talked about it to our customers the last 2 or 3 days because there was, if you're really sort of in the bowels of research or analyzing or information gathering, which part of our job is information gathering and then analyzing, when you almost like your job is to, you have to be informed. If you start looking for information and the different sources, there were a lot of people who were comparing the start this year compared to other years historically, in particular 2013, in which the USDA did in May move away from the baseline projections too. So the USDA was ahead of the game a little bit in the sense that they look at progress numbers when trying to attempt a yield expectation. And the progress was off to such a slow start. 24%, 22% as of Sunday. And, you know, the five-year average is 50%. And, you know, we're going to catch up in a lot of areas, but a lot of areas are not. And it's been an odd year. I've talked to a couple of farmers said, you know, in the northern regions where the frost went so deep because lack of snow cover and dryness, it took a long time for the snow to come out or for the frost to come out. And that just created some issues. Not sure I really understand that. But again, it was another story as to why it took longer for things to get dried out, let's say, the cool weather. This is a major concern if you're in parts of Minnesota and South Dakota and North Dakota. It's a big deal. And when you cut 4 bushels an acre off the yield to start, the market's going to pay attention. And it percolated higher today.
It definitely did. Maybe a little more on those new crop contracts versus the old crop. Soybeans today, you know, fairly quiet there. I feel like the report was fairly in line, and really soybeans acted like kind of the third leg here today. Not a whole lot of chatter about the soy complex when it was all said and done and the dust settled, Brian.
Still supportive news in the form of a slightly lower carryout was expected, but it still confirms it. What's interesting there on the soybeans as we look to the year ahead, you know, there's just no room for error. We're talking soybeans let me grab my numbers here. As we look toward next year, we're looking at 310 million bushels. This isn't 19 or a 2010. This is, you know, a much different ball game that the world is dependent on proteins and protein products and the issues in Ukraine. You know, they go on and on. So we're in a world bull market. But when you look at, you know, carry out of 305 million, I just use simple math. Say we harvest 80 million acres of corn. If we drop the yield in beans 2 bushels an acre, that's 160 million bushels. That cuts carry out basically in half. And what if we're off 3 or 4 bushels an acre? So, you know, there's a lot of what ifs here. We probably won't be. But what if we are? We're still not priced high enough to ration the inventory.
Do you think overall, Brian, after all of today's data, I know we got South American numbers there as well. We saw a few minor changes to Brazil's corn production specifically. Just all these different reports. Do you think anything got changed fundamentally with any of our grain markets after today's reports? Or is it going to be a matter of now that we've digested the data, will we just go back to trading weather and all those fundamentals again?
I think we're looking at a report that is basically factored in. Usually these kind of reports, they're kind of old news within 24 hours or 48 hours. And then the market needs to focus on something else. And the old saying is you need to feed the bull. The kind of thing that really exasperates markets usually don't happen or usually are things that come in multiples. So it's not just a matter of, oh, we got a supportive report that only goes so far. You've got to have somebody willing to buy higher prices because they perceive something else. And so we're rapidly, you know, heading right into a weather market in a less than ideal spring. So let's pump the brakes and back up to 4 or 5 weeks ago when you and I were talking. We talked about, look, you know, we're kind of on the verge of planting season here. If it goes good, we may have seen our high. If it doesn't, you know, there's a few week window here where the market's got some wiggle room. Now we're getting out of the wiggle room. So right now is when it gets really critical on that weather. And, you know, it's a kind of a 1-2 punch. It's a punch for the wheat market and it's a punch for the corn market. Beans, you probably got another week here, maybe 2 weeks where you've got wiggle room, but it's starting to get really critical for corn and beans. I can't again underscore how big of a potential impact the Ukraine situation is to the world markets. It changes the tone and dynamics.
And USDA, I would say, gave Ukraine the benefit of the doubt on today's WASD numbers, Brian, for the most part.
They did, but that's evolving. And I to go into that and try and figure that out might be, you know, kind of an exercise in just futility. I don't know what the word is, but, you know, it's just not worth it right now. I think the thing to watch, though, is in soybeans. Let's just focus on that for a minute, is it does look like, according to the CONAB numbers and then the USDA, that the crop has leveled off there. We know about what it is. It was actually a little bigger probably this month than it was a month ago, a little bit. Still well down from what could have been. The key focus now will be, as the market moves higher, if it does, is that going to promote big bean acreage switched in South America, or more bean acres in South America? Can they add more? Probably. The high first cost of fertilizer. Talked to one guy today, and they've been talking to the co-op, and that said the one thing you can expect is higher fertilizer costs next year. Don't know if that's true, but that's the talk today.
A lot of things to watch on that front as well. Brian, you mentioned buying earlier. I know China stepped in to buy some corn before everything got going this morning, and dismal export sales, marketing year lows in a lot of commodities here this morning, and a marketing year high in beef. But we'll get to livestock in a second. Your thoughts on the export sales this morning, because I think the WASD kind of overshadowed some dismal numbers there.
They did. And the dismal numbers, remember, those are sales for the end of last week. Now, I'm going to take a shot at this. If I'm a buyer of a commodity and I see it start to lose value, like beans lost a dollar, right? Corn lost 50 cents or close to that. I'm just buying what I need. Okay. I haven't gotten revved up. So I'm going to say I can explain away last week. Plus, China was on holiday early in the early part of last week. So, yeah, we saw an announced sale to China today. And then we saw, some poor export sales numbers. But that's not untypical in spring. Keep in mind that when we look at the bigger picture perspective, coming into today, whatever sales we had were, quote, a bonus because we had already exceeded the USDA estimates. So, again, a testament to the world is, going to search for protein products, and there's not a quick fix. We need big crops worldwide for this year and next year before we really, I think, see some alleviation of what would be tight supply.
Brian, looking at the livestock markets, it was a rough day there. We saw good export sales for pork. We saw marketing or high for beef, yet cattle and hogs just could not move higher. Any thoughts in this livestock trade today and just some of the issues we saw? Do you tie it to inflation possibly and a lack of consumer demand, or what's going on?
I do directly to inflation. I do directly to lack of confidence that the administration is going to control this. It's the cat's been out of the bag for a year and a half, and the Fed is too late getting to it. I'm opinionated on that. I can't underscore it enough. I think they tried to be kind to the new administration and not raise rates. They did that to the previous administration several times without real just cause. And consequently, you end up with this environment here. We got runaway inflation because some analysts thought the supply disruptions were transitory. There was nothing to indicate that. And so now they're trying to put out this fire. And you'll find historically that you can't just put out the fire that quick when it gets out of control. And I think what it bled to is just this lack of confidence in the equities and stock market, just, torpedoing downward this month. Interest rates on the rise. You've got inflationary concerns. CPI numbers were higher than expected again today. I wonder when they're going to get their expectations right, because they've continuously been higher than expected. And I don't think they live in the real world. They don't go to the gas pump in the grocery store. And that's what's hurting the consumer. They look at this and they can't afford these high prices. Groceries, and this might just be getting started because of our weather markets that are happening. So unfortunately, it looks like the market's concerned about the demand for both hogs and for feeder cattle. And you can mirror the equity market with the livestock markets the last 6 weeks. It's a terrible fallout. The backdrop of this that nobody can predict is the bigger issue in China is their economy, but the shutdowns because of COVID. But there's some real economic conditions that have continued to surface, and debt payment bond issues that have been missed by private firms, and it's becoming a growing matter. So unfortunately, we did see a good export sales number today on beef, but you know, now we're trying to analyze if we're just in the oversold territory or if we need to rethink this whole picture. I think in the cattle, you have limited supply. I think the on-feed numbers were falsely negative because of the poor pasture conditions out west and in the southwest, and no wheat to pasture cattle on. And ultimately, I think we come back, and I still think that the deferred live cattle have it right. You're looking at 155 in April. That's down a few bucks, but, you know, still holding up in there. Feeder market, though, is taking the brunt of it on the 1-2 punch of a weaker live cattle market, poor technicals. And then you've got this idea of higher corn, and that's no longer an idea. That's a growing reality. It'll stay high.
Definitely. Brian, as well, with the stock market, you know, you mentioned some of the concerns there, and we have a VIX, the fear index, was up near 35 today, another 19-year high in the U.S. dollar. Do you think with some of those headwinds, now that we've got all the data out of the way overall for ag commodities, do you think that could be a headwind going into Friday's trade and beyond?
It could be, but I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of money managers, and they're always looking for a bull market somewhere. They're always looking for some investment somewhere. Now, in commodities, they can initiate by selling, but right now, you've got bull markets, and you've got weather behind the bull markets, and nothing moves markets faster than weather. So we talked about markets having to feed the bull. Well, if this less than ideal weather continues in the summer, you know, you'll never have things bought soon enough. So it's not surprising to see corn moving back toward its high, because 750 corn looks relatively cheap to, let's say, where May corn peaked. And so far, May corn has peaked at 827. So you're still talking, you know, 75 cents about from where the May corn peaked. That the new crop corn, with carryout now projected lower than the current year, the carryout for next year, I think it keeps, you know, keeps the fund money active and probably back in. It ebbs and flows, but you've got changing dynamics right now that are not looking like you're increasing world supplies. The flip to this is, as prices go higher, there's just, you know, common sense, and that people can't afford as much, and you get less quantity demand. And we just sort of argued that in the cattle complex. So maybe it slows down, but it's a reflection of tight supply and, you know, multiple years of less than ideal crops worldwide.
Brian, before we run out of time, I should ask quick about the dairy market. Seeing some green on the screen there, maybe a little more volatility going on. What are you seeing in dairy as we wrap up the week?
You know, I see the same thing that I see in a lot of markets. You see in dairy, but one thing you see in dairy probably more pronounced is that you've had some labor shortages and issues. So that's one. So if you're going to expand the herd, now you're getting the nitty gritty of the numbers. The cow numbers are floating back and forth less than a year ago, more than a year ago. You're not seeing any wholesale changes. What you're not seeing, I'm in Wisconsin, you're not driving down the road and seeing this area of this farm here being bulldozed and a whole new setup being built. That was 5 years ago. That was 10 years ago. You've got rising interest rates. It costs more to produce. So I don't see the dairy industry expanding. It'll ebb and flow some here and there. I see a wholesale change in that the smaller producer will continue to exit. That's just the nature of it as they get more, as the demographics get it more into play, and people in their 50s and 60s or 70s go, you know, do I want to go out and milk 100 cows every day, or do I want to sell corn at $8 a bushel and work, you know, half as hard, you know, maybe twice as hard on some days, but half as hard most every other day. And I'm not taking anything away from the grain farmers, just that dairy is such a labor intensive, as we all know. And particularly if you're getting on in age and you don't have, you know, around the clock staff, it's the nature of the beast. So it looks to me supportive. The big dairies will gobble up the littles, but I don't think you're seeing any wholesale expansionary plans. The question is whether the consumer will continue to chase it. That's probably the biggest question. You know, are we buying cheese for pizza? Because when you go out, you can buy cheap pizza a lot cheaper than you can buy steak. Or are you going to, you know, just shift your overall consumer pattern to just less of everything or more of whatever's cheapest, maybe something more along the grain lines? But look at that. That's not cheap either. So it's getting interesting for sure.
Fantastic analysis today, Brian. I know if folks need some advice, I know your phone's been busy today and will probably continue to be, I'm sure. But I know they can reach out to you there at Total Farm Marketing online or with a simple phone call, can't they?
They absolutely can. You know, these are really important times, so we encourage it and invite it. And we'd love to try and be of help or service. But first, we'll listen and see if we can. So feel free to give us a call. We'd appreciate that.
And what is that number, Brian?
800-334-9779. So again, 800-334-9779. Or you can always shoot me an email, Brian with a Y, B-R-Y-E-N, at totalfarmmarketing.com, or just check out our website, totalfarmmarketing.com.
Brian, it's a busy day. I appreciate the time. Hopefully now you can go catch your breath. And thanks for joining us, sir.
Yes, sir.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk. That's going to do it for the show on this Thursday, May 12th. Find us online, markettalkag.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great afternoon.